Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for New Year's Eve found in Luke 12. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is God's word. 1 year ends, another begins. 2018 calendars come down, 2019 calendars go up. Just like things that never change, every year comes to an end, another year always begins. And maybe the new year comes with some hopes that some things will be different. It's not wrong for Christians to make resolutions, to set out to change some things in the new year. That's a good thing to do. You're going to change your lifestyle, change something. Maybe there's something that's necessary, and that's good. But tonight, let's look at the year ending and the new year beginning in a different way. Let's allow that pattern that repeats itself every December 31st and January 1st to teach us. Before 1 year can begin, the one before it must end. Happens all the time. Before 2019 can begin, 2018 must end. Before January can start, December must draw to a close. Before Tuesday can begin, Monday must end. It's a very simple reality. When one thing ends, another begins. And that is very true of our lives as Christians. Our lives in Jesus Christ are continually filled with all sorts of endings and beginnings. God works in our lives continually to end one thing and begin another. The Holy Gospel, which we heard a moment ago for New Year's Eve, is about the ending of one thing and the beginning of another. Stay dressed for action, says Jesus, and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. And then later Jesus says, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Forget the end of 2018. You and I, as Christians, are people who await the end of something bigger. Christians are awake and awaiting the end of this world as we know it. Our job is much bigger than just wrapping up 2018, putting a nice bow on it, and getting ready for 2019. We are to be people that await the end of all things. People that await the return of Jesus Christ. We said in the Apostles' Creed just a moment ago, he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. That's what the church does. We look for Jesus to return. We look for all of this to end. We look for something better, something even perfect to begin in its place. You know, in my experience, us Lutherans are terrible at talking about the end of the world. In fact, I would argue that a lot of us don't even really know how to talk about the end of the world. You can turn on some goofy TV preacher like Pat Robinson and the Robertson and the 700 Club, or old Jack Van Impey, who's been on there for about 40 years now, and hear them prattle on about the end of the world and what the current events mean in light of the Bible and all sorts of other false teaching. But hey, at least they give it a shot to talk about the end. Lutherans very seldom talk about it at all. When they do, they very often miss the point. I'll give you an example, and those of you who come to Bible study have heard me talk about this before. I'm willing to bet that if I were to ask you, what is the big thing that you and I have to look forward to as Christians? What's the most important thing that we have waiting for us in the future? Most of you would answer, well, it's that when I die, I get to go to heaven. And while that's not a wrong answer, it's at best incomplete. And more likely it's misguided, because you and I as Christians, as we said earlier in the creed, we wait for Jesus to return, to come to judge the living and the dead. We say, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. We wait for Jesus to come at an hour we do not expect, so that this world can come to an end and a whole new world can begin in its place. Forget the end of 2018. Let us hope and pray for the return of Jesus, the end of this world of sin, and the beginning of a world where Jesus reigns in glory. At Christmas, we rejoice that he reigns by coming in human flesh. He reigns through his word, through grace. But we look forward to a day where sin is no more, death is no more, and we live for eternity with Christ and with the Father. That's our hope. That's our hope as God's people, that the dead in Jesus Christ will be raised to life. And though you will die, you will be raised again. You'll be made perfect as Christ Jesus himself is perfect. That is so much bigger and so much greater than, well, our bodies die, we get buried in the ground, but our souls go to heaven. Yeah, your soul going to heaven's a great thing, but if the end of this life is our death, then the thing that begins after it should be greater than we can even comprehend. That's why we wait. That's why we watch. Because our Lord Jesus will return. That is the end that you and I should be interested in. That end of all things brings about a glorious new beginning. That's why we're not to fear the end of the world. We shouldn't worry over prognostications and foolish predictions of doom and gloom. We are actually people that pray for the end to come and for a new beginning to dawn. For the one who comes, Jesus says, is the master who returns for his servants. When Jesus comes, he comes to serve us. He comes to serve us with everlasting life and salvation. That's the hope and prayer of the entire church throughout its history. We join in the words of St. John, who wrote at the very end of the book of Revelation, "Come, Lord Jesus." We pray boldly for the end of all things. And St. Paul reminds us tonight in our epistle from Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You and I, we don't need to fear the end. We're covered in the blood of Jesus. Our standing with God is secure. Our salvation is secured by the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. God brings an end to things so that he can begin something new. On that cross, he nailed his son Jesus into death in order that Satan would be brought to his end. Satan is defeated. His judgment is sealed. He'll be tossed into the eternal fires of hell when Christ returns. His end was written when Jesus said, "It is finished." After dying, Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, to bring about another new beginning for you and me. One thing ends, another begins. The reign of sin and Satan ends on the cross on Good Friday. New life begins in the empty tomb on Easter. Even here tonight, as the few of us gather here to end the year, hearing God's word and drawing near to his presence, God is ending one thing and beginning another. Because every time that you confess your sins, God puts it to an end. It's removed. It is no more. As Psalm 103 says, our sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. When you are spoken forgiveness, you are raised a new person in the waters in which you were baptized. You begin anew as God's holy person in the waters of your baptism. You begin anew as God's holy, perfect child. When you come to eat the body of Christ and drink his blood, your sin is put to an end. Because the body and the blood given for you make you new. A new beginning in this sacrament of Christ's table. It's the table that serves you and ends one thing and begins another. Jesus said in our Holy Gospel, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants." Here at our Lord's table, God serves you as he comes to you. Jesus Christ comes to you as a servant in his body and blood. He comes to you to put an end to your sin and begin a new creation in you through Jesus Christ. The end of this year and the beginning of another serve to teach us this, that God is constantly ending sin and beginning life in his people. You and I, his people, we continually watch for him. We don't know at what hour he will return from the wedding feast to serve us and one day take us to be the guests of honor at the wedding feast. In the meantime, he serves us, ending sin and death, beginning life and salvation, accomplishing his good work in us. As you reflect on what changes will occur as 2018 flips its page into 2019, remember this first and foremost, that as God's children in Christ Jesus, he is always ending sin and beginning his work of salvation in you. That's his promise. That is what he resolves to do for you until the return of Christ in glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.